Cool.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Perfect. Okay. So, hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is about changing old patterns to raise your children. And I'd like to welcome Christy Murray. I'm so glad to have you here because you've got such an exciting topic. And yes, please briefly introduce yourself. I'd like to hand this over to you.
Hi, Blanca. Thank you for having me. I love this podcast, Renew Motherhood. I'm Christy Murray. I live in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, and I am a certified Christian neuro coach. And so the path I got here, it's a long path, but it's a blessing. I'm so happy that I am here. Because as a Christian neuro coach, I help mothers raised by covert narcissistic mothers to change their narrative, change their pattern so they can be a better mother, better wife, better friend, just have their identity. And I really think this ties in with your podcast, Blanca, because renewing motherhood is we were raised certain ways, and none of, I mean, we need to learn to take the good from the bad. So as
Absolutely.
renewed persons, and that's how we create our future and better relationships for our children.
Yes, that's wonderful. So how did you find out about your topic or about your, yes, how you're thrown into?
Actually through neuro coaching, I was a an online nutrition coach,
Oh.
and I was working full time, and so juggling working and then doing the online nutrition coaching and raising kids. So I actually took a neuro coaching course for productivity to help me get things done. And so through that, just through digging through why am I procrastinating? Why am I just spinning my wheels? Why am I doing certain things? It all came down to, wait a minute, it's because of the patterns that was instilled in my brain
Oh,
as a
yeah.
child. And the common theme was it was coming to my mother. And so, but then more, I knew I had a lot of questions about her behaviors and the things that had happened in the past, but it was, for me, it was just, okay, that's just how it is. And we got through it and we're better people now. And we did okay. We raised okay.
Yes, still alive, everything
still
of
alive. Exactly. Now come to find, yes, we survived, but are we thriving? Yeah, so more questions, and it's not really just one incident that led me to this conclusion. It was a lot of prayers as well. So a lot of prayers, a lot of support. And then I found this book that for daughters raised by covert narcissistic mothers, can come to find out
Wow.
there it was, answered all my questions, which brings me, I wanted to explain to everyone about narcissism, because when we think of narcissism, we just think of the person who is just me, I, it's all about me, and very obvious, grandiose type. So when people would tell me that, you're dealing with a narcissist, and I was like, no, it's not. I was actually in denial about it until I was presented to me, and then everything clicked. So that's the overt type that is really obvious and well known. And then the one that I want to raise awareness about is the covert type of narcissism. This is the one that's very insidious. And like I said, you wouldn't suspect that they're a narcissist
Oh, yeah.
because they're the type that would go out of their way to help people. Oh, really, even kind of uncomfortably nice. Like, why are you being so nice? Like
Oh,
they,
okay.
yeah, exactly. In the community, they're very charismatic. Both types are very charismatic. That's why you won't even suspect. And they would actually, because they're very good at presenting this mask, this facade of they're very concerned mothers, almost helicopter mothers. But not all helicopter moms are covert narcissists. So like I said,
Oh, thank
it's not
goodness.
one, yeah. It's not one incident. It's a series of patterns that, it's almost very tricky to accept and really be say that, yeah, this is what we're dealing with. And I have a podcast and I'm writing a book, and there I list all the, not all, most of the things that led me to this conclusion. It's one of them is victim mentality, it's gaslighting, both types, there's no accountability. And it's really to where, okay, I'm a victim and do everything for me, and you're indebted to me because I'm your mother and I raised you and you're my extension.
Oh yes. Can you think of an example that really shows how this situation can be?
So one example that I actually gave in my podcast is when there's a daughter who wanted to break away from her mother. She wants to go to college in a different state, and then when she told her mother that, oh, you know, I'm leaving and I want to be independent, and I found a school where I got scholarship. And the mom just automatically starts crying. And she started crying and she was like, well, I can't believe you're leaving me. Everyone leaves me. And after everything I've done for you, you're leaving me. So that's like one really obvious example. But, you know, if that was just one incident, the daughter wouldn't think of it that way. She would just be like, oh, my mom's sad, right? And she wants me to be close. So yeah,
Well, actually,
so
it's a situation where a mother has to let go. And yes, there might be a piece of, yes, I'm sad that you leave, but there is another one too inside of you.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we all get sad when our children want to move away, but as mothers, we want to support them and we're there for them, not to really control them and use them to our benefit. So that's another thing for covert and narcissistic moms. The children are their extension, so they always take credit for the children's achievements. And if the light is not on, if the spotlight is not on the mother is very unhappy. So then she throws tantrums, acts like a child, and she just wants the attention to herself. So it's her world, and the children are there to please them. And once the children are no longer serving their purpose, and it's quite sad that, and I've heard this from other daughters as well, that once the situations change and they're no longer there to be able to appease their mother, then the mother, like, basically there was a change in roles. So there was a golden child because they were that type of daughter that was serving the purpose of making the mother shine. And then when things changed, I was talking to a lady yesterday when she said she was the golden child. She was in all these activities, but then she gained weight. So then her mother wasn't getting the praises that she was used to, and the dynamics changed because now she's no longer golden in her mother's eyes because she had gained weight. And then the focus became, I need you to lose weight or I'm not doing this for you. So then that turns us to another sign that love is conditional.
Oh yes.
But
That's
it shouldn't be as mother.
yeah. How can you break out of this cycle? Well, actually, if you are a child, you probably you can't you don't know this. It's your mother, you trust you, yes, you believe you love her and everything just the way she is, and you think everything is like it should be. But growing up, I think it's very difficult to break out of this cycle. What's your number one advice for this?
Yeah, most of the women who actually realize this, they're like well into their 40s. It's sad because then you have actually like formed this pattern in your brain. You've attracted certain people in your life. You've, you know, lost certain opportunities and develop these patterns until you're like well into your 40s. And then something clicks, like, oh my goodness, this is why this is happening. And like you said, as a child, you don't know any better.
No.
And you don't question and you think that that's your normal. So, what my best advice is, if something feels uneasy, always seek help.
That's great. Yes.
And always journal, and because our brain and our hearts are, we want them to be connected, but what our brain, if our brain is wired a certain way, like if your brain just tells you this, you're normal, but your heart says, well, you know, this is not right. But your brain says, but that's just the way it is. So you have to reconcile that. So even knowing the facts, so once you start journaling and start keeping track of all these things, clear your head, put them all on paper.
Yes.
And then, so then you won't have a choice, but really just to look at facts, even though your heart is saying, no, that's just the way it is. That's normal. Then now you're starting to change the pattern. Like, wait a minute, if I look at the facts, emotions aside, the facts are pointing to this.
Great. This is a great advice. So really to put everything out of your head and to look from a different angle, to look, to get another perception around this. So
yes.
If it's inside, it's probably turning and you're just doing the same cycle again and again. But if you
you're
can put
surviving.
It out, if you can put it out, you already have another perspective. If you read this like a book, like something else. So that's wonderful. I love this. Yes. And is there a number one question that you get asked if this topic shows up?
Oh, yes. When people ask me, like, well, why? Why do you think, you know, that you're dealing with a covert narcissistic mom? And it's really difficult because everyone's raised differently and not all mothers are that way. So a person who's raised by an emotionally mature mother and a healthy mother wouldn't understand. So then you're kind of left with, okay, I'm having to justify myself, right?
Yes.
Like explaining all these situations. And if you just explain one situation or one incident, a lot of people will say, well, isn't that just normal? Oh, maybe in like the case that I had told you, oh, the mother's just sad. Or, oh, maybe it's cultural. Or, you know, but all these like seems, and I've made that, like I have had that battle in my head too, because I made excuses before I really recognized that, no, this is what it is. So the best way, am I losing my train of thought? So really, yeah, so that's the number one question that I get asked, like, why, like, what led to this? And
yes,
my answer is, it's not just one situation. It's a pattern. Like in my case, in my sibling's case, it's like 40 years of a lot of behaviors and patterns, and then really testing out it's
yes, I find this very interesting, because if you live with these patterns, how do you yourself raise your children? If you're, yes, experienced things like this, I think this can be difficult.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's very difficult because once you start seeing how your children are reacting, and then eventually you'll see yourself in your children. That, wait a minute, when I was a child, that some of these patterns will repeat themselves. Either your mother will start treating your children how you were getting treated, and then you'll see yourself in that situation.
You're triggered all the time, aren't
you're
you?
triggered, yes. And then you're like, wait a minute, this is not right. Then that's when you, now as a renewed mother, start, you make that decision that, no, this is not normal. This is not the way it is. This was uncomfortable for me growing up, and my children will not. It's not even should not, they will not. You make that conviction right then and there. My children will not experience the same thing.
Yes. Yes. Wow, that's wonderful. And what a transformation for you and for the, yes, for a better life for your children, actually. To get a mother who can understand, to get a mother who is empathetic, who is really with their children. and not separated or disconnected, or I don't know how to explain this, but I think the connection between the mother who is, I don't know if the word healed is good, is a good word for this, but who is transformed, has got a better way of raising the children.
Yeah, it's healing. Healing is, I guess, is a good word. It's healing because it's, you know, it's not a definite. Every now and then you still get this patterns of like, well, what if, you know, always that question, what if? So like in my case, I was, I'm Catholic. So there's always that question, like, what if I'm wrong?
Yes. Yeah. To make a decision, what's the right and what's the wrong.
Yeah,
but I think this is
exactly.
For everyone, isn't this? To really, if you dive deep into your thoughts, and if you dive deep into your emotions, what is coming from the past that you don't like to take anymore, or what is really leading you to your future? To really differentiate between those two things. And it's a wonderful topic. I love this.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's one of those things that I wish I'd learned about this sooner, but, you know, God has his own timeline.
Yes.
But yeah, and now that I am increasing awareness of it, I am actually reaching people. I'm on LinkedIn, and I write a newsletter. It comes out every 2 weeks. And for Mother's Day, I wrote a newsletter about the mother wound on Mother's Day. And someone actually reached out to me and said they found peace in my newsletter.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I was thinking that, wow, if I can reach just one person with, you know, a simple newsletter and give them peace,
Yes.
There's a lot more daughters out there that are suffering, that they don't know who to turn to, they don't have a support, because not it's we are shamed for saying something about it.
So what do you think, what is the, or who is the best person to reach out to if you seek, and if you have got a feeling of this might be a pattern that isn't good for me, or my mother is doing something that doesn't feel good for me? So just to get help, who's the right person for this?
Yeah, so
well,
the
you
first,
are.
well, I am, find me, I will help you get through it. I will help you find your identity and your power.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, so there's support groups. I know there's Daughters of Narcissistic Women that are starting to form groups. And that finding a group is tricky, because not everyone wants to say, well, hey, you know, raise their hand, like, hey, I am this and these are my experiences. So you have to really be comfortable with it.
Yes.
Like, reconcile that within yourself. So like the first step would be journal. And then two is you go to therapy, because there's a lot more involved than dealing with this, you know, this covert narcissism. You could be going through a depression because of it. You could be anxious. So seek help for those things. And then once you've really realized the way I'm dealing with a covert narcissist, then yes, find someone who specializes in it. Either go to therapy, or for me, what's more effective is the neuro coaching.
Yes.
And I still go to therapy, actually, but then I neuro coach myself through like everyday life.
Yes. And I think that's wonderful if you have experienced it by your own, by yourself. So you are, well, I would say you are more a helping hand, because you can really, you know where the person is at which stage, at which, in which situation, what comes up next, and because you've gone this path. And so I think it's even more helping to get to someone who knows about this from own experiencing. Then just, well, I say just, well, it's wonderful to have those therapists, nothing against this, but
yes.
if they gain the knowledge from learning, it's in the head. And yes, there might be a situation which is not written in the books. So there won't be help for them. So I think it's crucial, or it's very good if you find someone who has gone this path, who has experienced it. Yes, when we were talking about creating the brainwaves,
Yes.
love this, to change a pattern, I found this so interesting. What has helped you personally in the beginning to get started?
So recognizing my patterns, we call them, in neuro coaching, we call them ants. Your queen, you find your queen ant. So the automated negative thoughts. So what are these thoughts that keep replaying in your brain no matter what you're doing? Do you embark on something new and then when it gets hard, you're like, well, I'm not good enough for this, or I don't deserve this, or I'm not worthy. So we find which one is your queen ant, and then we work through it. Like, why? Why does this keep repeating? What's causing this? So we look for that root cause. And then from there, okay, once we figure that out, okay, then now we look for evidence that those are not true. Once we find evidence to disprove that, so you kind of become your own lawyer, that if you're, for example, your thought is, oh, I'm not good enough. Well, why? Why do you think you're not good enough? Oh, because of this. Okay, so now let's find the opposite. If what are your accomplishments that disprove that you're not good enough? So once we start getting that, so then that's, you know, like looking at facts and then connecting with your emotions.
Yes.
Because once you see it on paper, well, I have all these accomplishments. I am good enough.
Yes, wonderful. But you're not aware of it.
You're
If
not
you
aware of
got
it
those
because,
emotions and this self-talk, this negative
exactly.
Talk. So yes, that's. I think it's wonderful if you have someone at your side,
Yes,
can guide you through this. Because I think it's difficult to really analyze your self-talk alone.
Yeah, for me it didn't happen in one session. It was a process actually, and it's not just like, oh, there it is, okay, now I gotta, you know, talk myself into positivity or manifesting. So it's not as simple. I wish it's that simple, but it takes a lot more work,
just let's find the button, click.
Yeah,
Done.
exactly. It's not like just tell me what to do, I'll do it. It's like, well, yeah, you really need that
process. Yes,
to
you have
go
to
through
be
the
patient
process.
with yourself too, haven't you?
Yeah,
and this takes a lot of breath to go this path, not to give up, I think.
Yeah, it gets hard, and when things get hard, we tend to give up because our brain is wired to protect ourselves. No, this is uncomfortable. I'm staying with the familiar.
Yes. And that's another point where someone is holding your hand and saying, I know where you're at.
Yes.
Let's break this through. To really, and if you're alone, you're probably falling back into your comfort zone.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, yeah, then that comes with the beauty of community. Because then when you have a community and you hear the other people talking about their own experiences and what they're going through, then it gives you a sense that, okay, it's not just me. I'm not alone. And I have a tribe.
Yes, wonderful. I think that's important. Yeah. So how do you implement your knowledge and your experiences now with your own kids, with your own children? Is there something special that you have changed, or is there anything that you'd like to share about this?
So I actually started doing this mnemonic that I learned in neurocoaching. It's called STEPDAR. So S would be situation, T is for the thoughts, E is emotions, B is your belief, D is your decision, A is your action, and R is the result. So when things happen to us, especially if those things that are triggering, continually triggering, then you automatically feel a certain way. An example I would say is there's a person that I used to work with. When this person would send an email, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, here she is again. What does she want? I'm sure we would have all that. But then when I started going through neuro coaching, I started changing the way I feel, like starting from the situation. Because situation, we have to get it into our brain that situations are neutral. It's neutral. It's neutral. It's neutral. It's nothing. So for me to say that that email is bad is me assuming something. So I'm jumping ahead. If I see an email, regardless of who it's from, if I just tell myself it's neutral, it's just an email. Then right then and there, the trigger is, I mean, the trigger's not pulled. And then you move on to the thoughts. Okay, now that I've decided that the situation is neutral, what's the thought that's coming to my head? So the
Then you
thought
come
is,
into the
yes,
assuming something.
exactly. So it's a ladder. Instead of you like running up the ladder, you go down slowly. So it's neutral. Okay, now what's the next step? The thought is it's just an email. Okay, so no raising of blood pressure. And then emotions is, how do you feel about that? Okay, well, everyone's entitled to send something. So really no anxiety over it because you've decided that that situation is neutral. So the belief with that is, okay, well, they want my opinion. No, really, there's no belief about yourself because it's like you've decided that it's neutral.
Take the words like they are and not like you think that they are.
Yeah, exactly. So then the decision that you make out of that, once you've decided that it's neutral, is okay, I'm deciding to just not assume anything, and I'm going to read this email. Because before you might delete it or just put it off to the side, and then there's like triggers, a different set of events. So then where are we now? So then we're emotions, and then we've made that decision, and then the action is, okay, now I'm going to read that email. And then the result is, wow, okay, so you just worked your way down instead of working your way up. You've worked yourself down to where, oh, well, it's really not that bad. Now I can handle this. I can deal with this.
And
So,
everything changed.
yes, everything changed. But then I just wanted to show you the difference if you don't decide that the situation is neutral. So this is how fast we get our blood pressure up. Without knowing this mnemonic, if I decide that the situation is what it is, like it's always been, oh, it's bad. What does she want now? She's getting on my nerves. The thought would be like, okay, you're ready, you're getting your head ready for battle because you've decided that, okay, she's sending you that. And then the emotions is, you're getting riled up, you're getting anxious, your blood pressure is rising. And then so the belief is, oh, she must think I'm, you know, for lack of better, she must think I'm not good enough for her to send all these things all the time and think this. So that would be your belief to yourself. And then the decision is, you're already ready to reply with a bad response, right? Or maybe like even get up and like find that person.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so that would be the action that you're taking because of the decision that you're making. As a result, then the result is
Just an email, how
it's
crazy.
just an email. Exactly, right? So that would be the so that's how fast it is. And it all just starts with, you just think it's a situation. And that's what I try to talk my kids into. When they're saying, oh yeah, this happened, they're unhappy, and then just say, okay, listen. So I just bring them back. What's the first step? And I don't tell them the mnemonic. I'm like, what's the S? No, I just
No,
be like,
no.
okay, what happened? So then we try to neutralize the situation. I try to help them see that this is what it is.
I love this. Yes, because you have to get on the step of your children that they can understand, and it's so easy just to say, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
You
And
really
actually, the
need.
first step would be listening to your children. Because past experiences, not we're not listened to. It's just the way it is. And you're like, nope, don't complain and stop whining and just go.
Yeah. Yes. So many parents would do this probably. So to not listen to the children and not thinking about, well, it's I can I would say I can understand this in one point to say really I don't like to deal with your emotions because I'm in a bad mood. I'm stressed. I can't take this anymore. So please let these emotions on your side. Don't put it on mine. So, but here we go. It's up to us as parents to really to neutralize ourselves, I think, so that we can take those emotions because the children can, how can they learn how to deal with their emotions? They are only thrown back. So it's difficult if ever possible. I have no idea.
Yeah, and then they're going to learn that if you're upset, you just blow up. And then that will be their norm growing up.
Wonderful. Yes, I love this. So, yes, I really deeply enjoy our conversation. This is so useful, so sensible, so wonderful. I love it. What's your offer, actually?
So my offer, actually, the number one I would like people to is to get in touch with me and let's have one-on-one sessions. Doesn't have to be long. It's if you're on the fence and you're confused and you need clarity and you know you want freedom, let's have one-on-one sessions.
Wonderful.
And if you're
When can
ready for
they?
community, we can get there.
Yes. Where can people find you? Where do they sh where should they go?
Yeah, if they go to my website, Blue Veil Wellness, so it's the color blue and then veil, like the veil that you put on your head, and then wellness, it's blueveilwellness.com. They can get on my email list. First, they can take the quiz. It's called Healing from Narcissistic Mother Quiz. And then so that would be the first step, so they can kind of see that, okay, these are the emotions that I'm feeling and I am in the right place. So you take that quiz, then you'll get the results, and then we'll be in touch. Then get on the chat with me to see if we're a good fit, if we can help each other. And I would love to help any woman who suffers through this. And
Yes.
really, even just if you don't get into sessions with me, I just hope that you'll learn and that you find clarity from the information that I'm putting out there.
Well, yes, so wonderful. Actually, you have given so much value to this podcast. I really, really, I'm so grateful for this. And I think this even can help so many women too, so many mothers. Well, I think, what about fathers and men? Is this similar situation or is this completely different?
It's similar situation. It's just more hurtful when the mother is the covert narcissist, because mothers are like the natural nurturers, and it's just a different role, but it is equally hurtful if your father is a narcissist. If there's actually situations where the father is a grandiose narcissist, and then the mother's a covert, so then they feed off of each other. Then
Oh,
no one's protecting the child because it's, yeah. So the dad's like, yeah, treating the children a certain way, and the mom's not defending the children because she's relishing that victim role that she has because that's how she gets attention and that's how she's able to manipulate. So, yeah, so the poor children don't have anywhere to go.
Well, thank you so much for being here on my podcast. I really, really appreciate your teachables and your thoughts around this. And yes, I wish that so many people will reach out to you, Christy Murray. I really think you're a wonderful helping hand. And yes, thank you for being here. And to all the listeners, please follow this podcast, Renew Motherhood. These are exciting episodes and don't miss any. Thank you very much, and have all a wonderful day.